I have admitted many times on this airwaves, it won't be a surprise to anybody that's heard me talk, I'm not the biggest college football fan. I'm not a Ducks fan in particular. So tell me what I need to know to get caught up. Dante Moore is playing quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's about all I know. Dan Landon jumped in a swimming pool. I do know that.
You know that.
So those are two things that I've got. Yeah. What's like the 10,000 foot view on the Ducks this year?
The bar is incredibly high when you go through the Big Ten schedule and you finish 13-0 in Big Ten play. I mean, that is, and when you look at Dan Lanning, year
is that
one.
Is that the first thing people think of when they think of last season, though? It's just, it's Ohio State,
no,
right?
No, it is. It's it's that loss and also that win against Ohio State.
That's fair.
In the way that both of those games went. But the bar when you go through the regular season, all bets are off when it comes to the college football playoff. And I think that is a massive learning experience for this Oregon team is that look at Lanning's career. Starts off with three losses, then goes to two, and then ends last year with one. I mean, it's like that's a – the bar keeps being raised. Yeah. And if when you hear Lanning talk and you hear people in that program in the orbit of Oregon football, it is good. Continue to raise the bar. Don't lower expectations because last year was good. It wasn't good enough for them.
Yeah.
If that becomes exponentially harder when you go from Bo Nix to Dylan Gabriel, and Dylan Gabriel was the perfect gap year quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. Dante Moore, you want to talk about a guy who swallowed his pride and he went to UCLA because he wanted to play immediately.
Yep.
He got, whether it's a big NIL package or whatever it is. I think that that's funny when people say he ran to UCLA for the NIL, but then they accuse Oregon of having more NIL than anybody else, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as much money as there is out there, there's a lot more money waiting in the NFL and there's more NIL money waiting if you play well. And going and having a chance to play right away is a way to bet on yourself.
Yep.
And you can take the money, from any number of schools, but you're not going to play over Bo Nix coming back for a 17th college football season or whatever it was at the time. So Dante Moore has a year sitting. It's the first time we've seen a guy wait to take the starting job in a while.
Well, and what he did was he said, all right, I know I'm not, he would have been the starter last year at UCLA in all likelihood. I mean, he was not horrific. Look at the team that was around him at UCLA in Chip's final year.
Well, and Chip was halfway out the door on that season.
There's a reason why Chip Kelly left too, right?
Yeah.
So Dante Moore goes to Oregon. This is why Dylan Gabriel was the perfect gap year quarterback for the Oregon program in that Dante Moore took a red shirt and he sat and he actually took in the process of being a starting quarterback. And I think that that is like one of the things that is so lost when you look at quarterback play in college football is that guys just want to go to somewhere where they can start and they can play right away. Well, you don't learn the tricks of the trade. There's a reason why Bo Nix went through the lumps at Auburn and ended up looking like a completely different quarterback by the time he got to Oregon. There's a reason why Dylan Gabriel was really damn good at UCF in Oklahoma, but then it's the experience and there's nothing that you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And then you learn how to prepare. You learn what different schemes and looks and what defenses perceive your weaknesses to be and how you can beat them. And that takes time. And that preparation is something that has been talked about a ton with Dante Moore and just absorbing what Dylan Gabriel went through last year and seeing that. I don't know what Dante Moore, the quarterback of Oregon, is going to look like come, what is it, August 30th when they play Montana State.
Yep.
But what I do know is that that young man looked dramatically different from the fall to the spring, whether it was the processing and getting the ball out quicker, and you could see that in the spring game, the arm slots and arm angles that he was throwing from, that Dylan Gabriel had ever, when you are a 5'11" quarterback in college football, you got to learn how to throw from every arm angle.
Yeah.
And you could see that Dante Moore was using those arm angles. There was one throw in the spring game where he kind of just leaned around a guy and sidearm flipped it, right? That's not something he had in his bag before.
Yeah.
And so how much did he take and how much is translatable? That's going to be the biggest question for this Oregon program this year because you are only as good as your quarterback is.
Yeah.
And we saw that with Ohio State last year. Kyle McCord had a great year at Syracuse, but Will Howard was the guy who made a big difference as an organizer and a distributor of the football for Ohio State.
Well, and he was the guy that, took a lot of blame for the loss at Oregon, especially the way, you know,
no doubt
sliding too, you know, too late and blowing the chance for an opportunity to win that game. But then you see how much he matured as the season goes on. This, with the new life that you have after a loss in college football with a 12-team playoff, changes things pretty dramatically. So even if Dante Moore isn't, you know, leaps and bounds better than he was at UCLA to start the season, it's Montana State. Oklahoma State is a tough test, and it's Northwestern, who is expected to be at the bottom of the Big Ten. Oregon State, it's by the time you get to Penn State, you need him to be ready to go and this offense to be clicking. Where's the strength and the anchor for this Oregon team if Dante Moore isn't great out of the gates?
Running back room is absolutely loaded. If you look at two position groups offensively that are loaded to the gills, that running back room is about six deep. And okay, you have true freshmen. You've got guys like Makai Hughes, who's the Tulane transfer.
If you're six deep, though, is there a workhorse in there? I mean, having six guys is like having nobody, right?
Yeah, Noah Whittington, who came back last year, and I think the Purdue game was his welcome back in coming off a really gruesome knee injury that he suffered against Colorado in 2023. It wasn't until the Purdue game in October that it was like, oh, yeah, he's not afraid of the contact. He trusts his leg. He is back. So you have Noah Whittington, Jaden Lamar, who is kind of a Swiss Army knife, do-it-all guy, who's kind of been waiting his turn and going through it and has been a phenomenal back for them. Makai Hughes, who's the Tulane transfer. He comes into the fold where he is coming back as one of the most highly touted running backs in the entire nation this year. Then you have freshman Jordan Davis, who comes in, De'Aaron Hill, who also comes in as a true freshman. Last year, you had a Division II transfer in. You want to talk about having options. You've got guys who are Swiss Army knives. You've got Thunderbacks like Jay Harris, who is a monster in the backfield. We didn't see a whole lot of him, but he is a big-bodied back. And then you also have he is a jitterbug. And I don't even want to say it, but because it's not like him totally because he was just different. But a small back with that first cut that has an insane burst, and he all of a sudden moves laterally faster than you can in a blink of an eye. Dewan Riggs. Dink is a phenomenal nickname, by the way.
It's great.
He's a jitterbug of a running back, and he's going to be a redshirt freshman out of DC. I mean, that running back room has got speed. It's got receiving out of the backfield. It's got multi-purpose. And it has big body backs. They are going to be good. That offensive line is retooled and they replace a lot, but you don't have to go through a center change. You have Poncho at center. Your two tackles, you went into the portal and you got them out.
Guys with experience on the edges, that makes it a lot easier.
And Isaiah World is the size of the world.
Yeah, from Nevada, right?
Yeah, he is an enormous human being. Yeah.
And they say he has like top 10 potential, but they didn't quite always see that potential at Nevada. So how much credit do you give this Oregon team for not only finding the guys, but being able to develop them and help them go to the next level?
But Mike Kavanaugh, who is now the O-line coach at Oregon State, he was an analyst and an offensive line assistant for the last couple of years at Oregon. And Coach Cav gave nothing but rave reviews about Alik Terry and his ability to teach and connect with his players. And he said he is insane, wickedly smart offensive line coach. They have a staff that they call the law firm down there of offensive line coaches that are great developers of talent. So what they can do with them, what they did with, you know, if just think of Josh Connerly. Okay, he came in as a highly touted prospect. He leaves in 3 years as a first-round pick.
There you go.
Okay?
Yep.
Then you have also guys like Ajani Cornelius, who is a transfer from Rhode Island. And he ends up getting drafted. He is in the NFL as well. Right?
There you go.
You look at what they've been able to do at the center position and developing that position through a litany of offensive line coaches. There's a culture of offensive line, and it really did start with Mario Cristobal transferred over. But their offensive line coaching is from some of the most grizzled, experienced guys in college football say, no, Alik, Terry, and this staff, they've got it on the O-line. But I think where the run game can really pop, that tight end room is going to be really damn good. And I think you're listing
all of the quarterback's best friends.
Yep.
A run game, an offensive line, and tight ends. Wide receivers, you got injuries, but that is something where, you know, in big games, you're going to need everybody. But for the first half of the season where you can go out there, if you can get a lead and you've got running backs, tight ends, and an O-line, it's going to make it a lot easier.
And you got DeCorian Moore, and that true freshman is going to be special at wide receiver. He is going to be and I hate to heap the expectations on him, but we saw it in the spring game on the very first play. Right? They said, oh, we got a new toy. We're going to use him. And you know Will Stein is going to use him.
Yeah.
They replace so much offensively, though. At wide receiver, whether it's Tez Johnson or Trayshon Holden, you know, and now Evan Stewart, like, you have some big shoes to fill there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be by committee, but you have a pretty dang special freshman in DeCorian Moore.